2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Welcome back, everybody, to the DFS Army's flagship NFL podcast, Geeks Vegas Lines for FanDuel and DraftKings, where Kevin, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek, and yours truly, Chopadong, dive in to break down each and every game on the NFL slate. Kevin is a five-star general in the DFS Army, and he is also top-ranked on Roto-Grinders in both NFL and MMA. I'm your lovable host and chalk eater specializing in teaching the newer members the fundamentals of player selection, contest selection, and bankroll management. Together, Kevin and I team up each and every week of the NFL season to point you in the right direction when it comes to game flow, trends, analysis, and relevant statistics from both a cash and tournament perspective. We both go by the same names in the Army and out on Twitter. Kevin's handle is at FFootballGeek, and I am at Chopadong. Feel free to give us a follow, and don't forget about the website Twitter handle at DFS Army for Army news and notes. Kevin, it is week four. What is up?
Hey, good to get past last week's craziness and move on to what I think is going to be a more profitable week, hopefully, than what it was for me last week. So last week was weird because I felt like I was on the right games, the high-scoring games, but, like, the wrong players, which was kind of weird. Like, if you think about it, there was a bunch of high-scoring games where, like, I'll give a great example. Like, I'm a stack QB with WR kind of guy, and I definitely like Kirk Cousins a lot last week, so that kind of put me on some of his pass catchers. But, you know, Kirk Cousins went bananas. He had a great game, but, you know, Pryor and Crowder and Reed, like, no one, the pass catchers didn't do well. It was Chris Thompson, baby, who did all of the damage, and like, what the hell? And there was a bunch of games like that. Like, you had the other one that I was really kind of proud of was my call on the Colts Browns game, where it had this 41 over under, and I'm like, this thing is going to blow past this score and be a high scoring game, which it was. But the players, there was the Brissett, T.Y. Hilton, GPP lineup, which was great, but in general, like, you know, the Higgins, the Isaiah Crowell, and the Doyle hard hat, like, none of that worked.
Right.
So it was just, you know, these quarterbacks running in touchdowns. Interesting week, definitely.
Well, Brissett had a big day. It was funny because I had a buddy that I was talking smack to just before the games kicked off, and I said, "You're so lucky. I thought twice about it. I about ran Brissett right down your butt in our little league." And he was like, "Dude, you totally should have." And I was like, "Nah, you know, I opted for a safer play." And then Brissett proceeds to just go off, and he calls me back, and he's like, "Man, you really suck."
What can you do? Ran Brissett out there.
Sure, I should.
This week, it's an interesting phenomenon. Looking at, obviously, I look at DraftKings and FanDuel. And it's fascinating how different they are this week. It's actually really, really dramatic. DraftKings just jacked up salaries like crazy. And the entire slate, what we're going to have to do is hunt for value plays that have potential of paying off. It's going to be very difficult on DraftKings this week. And I don't think that one will be able to afford a lot of stud players. Certainly a pay down at quarterback type week also at DraftKings, just to save that salary wherever you can. FanDuel, on the other hand, is, you know, easy peasy. So,
yes, it is.
What a difference the two sites make this week. It'll be fun because I kind of like going in the same week with two really different lineup construction methods. So let's just jump right into these games. And, you know, I'll save a lot of this site-specific stuff for the VIP pod anyway.
Sounds good. Well, I'll tell you what, before we jump into the game, so let's bring up one thing that we're trying to spread the word on from the DFS Army. New members. I want you to explain how new members that join and also create an account on Fantasy Draft are entered into what they're going to get, a random drawing. 30 guys are going to get a ticket for, or at least one guy of 30 is going to get a ticket.
Do not say 30 people. Hold up.
No.
All right, so I will explain this. We have an awesome promotion going. So if you're listening to this pod, and if you found it on the accompanying post on the DFSArmy.com site, the link is posted there. So basically this week, and that's a reminder, I should have mentioned that before. This week the big controversy in the DFS world was that DraftKings and FanDuel upped their rake just a little bit on certain games. Like the $3 contests that had been 15% rake, which I already kind of thought was pretty high, seemed to have moved to 16%, which is even higher, and that followed some of the double ups and even some of the cash games. So not cool, guys, but it is what it is. We just have to see what's up, be aware of the contest we're getting into, and move on. And that's fine. If FanDuel did the same thing, somehow they both did it the same week. So fantasy draft. So what do? Of course, being the shopper that I am, I called my friends over at Fantasy Draft, and I'm like, guys, you know, the other sites are jacking up the rates. You know, this is a good opportunity to bring some new members over to your thing. Now, Fantasy Draft was always really cool about having these rake-free head-to-heads anyway, which is something I love. And again, if you understand math, you know how important the rake is and how important it is to minimize it for profitability's sake. So Fantasy Draft already had that going. And they said, yeah, all right, we're doing a promotion where whatever your rake is for the week, we'll just give it back to you at the end of the week, which is a promotion that they're doing now for new members. And I'm like, guys, that's all right, but, you know, if I'm a new member, how much am I playing week one anyway? You know, $20, like my rake of $2, that's not so motivating. So then I'm like, guys, let's do something more. So he says, all right, I'll throw in a ticket to our Carolina Millionaire Maker Final. And what that is Fantasy Draft is actually doing a live final similar to what the first year of FanDuel and DraftKings live finals were like, where it's only 12 people. So it's small. It's not a massive event. But there's $1 million in prizes, which is pretty freaking awesome. Like, if you made it in this contest, you know, I think you're probably not walking away with less than 50 grand or something pretty awesome. And, you know, somebody's walking away with a lot of money. And it's a 1 in 12 shot, which is legitimately having a shot. So anyway, it's a $444 ticket to this Sunday's Carolina Millionaire Qualifier. All right, so the value of the ticket is $444. And the way they're working it is new depositing accounts that sign up through the link that they provided to us, which is in this post and on the DFSArmy.com site, probably within every article we're going to write this week, because I want to really get the word out on this, because it's awesome. What we'll do is we'll have a drawing, literally a randomized drawing, where they're going to provide all the names to me in some sort of randomizer Excel thing. And I will go on either Periscope or, you know, some sort of live type video thing that I can do on social media, maybe probably on Twitter through Periscope if I can figure out what that is and how to do it, and which I don't know right now, but I'm sure it's not that hard. And we'll do a drawing, and one of the names of the people who sign up a new deposit account will win that $444 ticket to the Carolina Millionaire Maker Final. And of course you get all the other shit whenever you sign up for Fantasy Draft that new members get, whatever the best promotion is right now. So it should be pretty cool. And one of the things is about this, you might think that, you know, oh, it's going to be thousands of people and I have no shot. That's very unlikely. It's more than likely going to be like, you know, 50 people or 100. Who knows? It won't be that many. Maybe it'll be 20. I have no idea. So it'll be a very winnable ticket. It's pretty easy. It's worth it to check out Fantasy Draft because it's an awesome site. It's very much a shark-free zone, They just don't have mass entry, and they don't have a lot of things. There's no rake on head-to-heads. They have a lot of good things going on over there. The gameplay is very, very similar to DraftKings. So I think it's cool. So get signed up. Sign up a new deposit. Don't ask me if you have an account already. If it count, it doesn't. It has to be a new depositing account. I don't care if you signed up last week. It doesn't count. I can't change it. This is a raffle. You can't change the rules. So do that. And
definitely.
Sign up if you haven't already. Do it. Try to win that ticket and then get in the live millionaire maker thing and become a millionaire. And then thank me. You don't have to give me money. Just be like, dude, that was fucking awesome. I won a ticket. I went to the live final. I won $1 million. And it was awesome, man. My life has changed and I appreciate it. Just say thank you. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, just wave to me when I let you go in traffic. That's all I ask.
It's like, seriously, man.
Simple wave. It's a simple way.
Dude, that was fucking. That was the thanks for the hookup, man. I call those people. The worst part is when they came up with the idea. I'm like, shit, I can't compete in that. Like, I would rather have a contest with first place that ticket because then I'll jump in and win that shit myself. And it's like, nah, no. Yeah. By the way,
come join my site so I can kick your ass.
Yeah,
that's not how we operate.
Yeah, dude, beat me. Shit. I remember one Mitch, who's DFS and Donuts on the site, was talking about, you know, we run these contests, and when we first started running them, he was like not entering them, and you know everybody else, like the first fantasy draft contest, for example, and he's like, what, we're allowed to enter it? And I'm like, hell yeah, dude. He's like, oh, I thought, you know, we work here, we're not allowed to. I'm like, no, fuck that, man, get in the contest, win. At the end of the day, we're all here playing this game, trying to win.
We got 300 people in a DFS Army League. The odds are, you know, one of us isn't going to win it anyway because you got to beat 350 people to do it. But it's fun when we do. I know last year Keith and I took 1 and 2 in one thing. He got that helmet, which was pretty cool. I sat there in second place, and I caught more shit from people for placing second than I would have if I'd have placed 82nd. It was absolutely hilarious. Fun group of guys, no doubt.
I wanted that autographed helmet. Yeah, I wanted that thing too. Don't think – when we do these prizes, I'm in there. I want to win it. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a dummy lineup.
All right,
let's do this.
Get one, brother.
Right.
Thursday night, Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. We have a 7-point spread for the home team Packers and a 45-point total, 45.5, whatever you want to call it. Do we trust this short week? I mean, I know Chicago isn't very good, but Green Bay sort of is.
So the first thing is beware of the road team on a short week. Offensively, they're not going to have a lot of time to prepare. As far as Aaron Rodgers goes, he doesn't need a lot of time to prepare, but it's important to note that they're down 2 offensive tackles in this game. So, you know, for whatever that's worth, I don't know that that bodes, like, super well for the running game, especially runs up the middle, and I don't know that it bodes really great for the passing game either. So Aaron Rodgers is good enough to put his team on his back and win this game. There's no doubt. I think actually Chicago has no choice but to probably try to lean on the run. But the problem is you're not going to be able to lean on the run unless you get ahead, and this is a road game. Again, divisional foe. This whole game, I'm pretty comfortable just fading it. One of the other concerns I have on this game, I mentioned before, salaries. And in particular, like, Ty Montgomery is now $7,500 on DraftKings. Are you serious? That is very, very expensive for a guy. I mean, I love that he catches a lot of receptions, and if he gets in the end zone, it's great. But he's not a running back that's going to run for 100 yards most games or even get 100 receiving yards. He's going to be more of a PPR guy that needs to get a touchdown or two. Like, he'll get 7 or 8 receptions. So he'll put up a decent score every single week, like 12, 14 points. But he's not getting a whole lot of rushing yardage. It's just the way the Packers play, which is fine by me. I don't even care about that. He doesn't get a lot of running. I mean, the last two games, he's averaging 11 rushing attempts and 35 yards total. You know, what makes up for it is he gets a lot of receptions. But, you know, you need the touchdown. Last week he didn't get the touchdown. Mm-hmm. Put up a 13. When he gets the touchdown, it's a big score. So, you know, he's fine. But these Thursday games, they're volatile.
I don't want the road team at all on short notice. There's really no one in Chicago that interests me in this game. Certainly not for the salaries. I'm not a Jordan Howard guy. And you know, I'll always play Jordy Nelson because he's the man and he's awesome. And I'll always play him if I get the chance. So it's not like I'm avoiding a Jordy or anything like that. I just don't really think that you need to be involved in this. I do want to play this slate, though. I definitely want to play the Monday. This is one of the first weeks where I'm going to play a decent amount on the Thursday through Monday, mostly just because, you know, there's a lot of awesome games that are primetime, and these sites are now doing the main, or at least DraftKings is doing the main slate without even Sunday night now. So I just want to get a piece of those games.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, absolutely. A Monday night game looks like a good one this week, which we'll get to last. So you're going to fade. I'll take that little note. You're going to fade the Thursday game, but probably play the slate.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say I'll fully fade this game. Like I said, I don't mind playing Aaron Rodgers. I don't mind stacking Aaron with Jordy Nelson. Anyone of the pass catchers, Devontae Adams, you know, that kind of thing. Like, one of those guys is probably going to go off. So
you're just going to limit your exposure to it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to go crazy on this game. You know, again, the Thursday games tend to be a little overowned, especially when a team that's exciting, like the Packers, are in it.
Right.
I don't see a running back here in this game that I think will go crazy, and certainly not. I look at both salary and opportunity. So I'm comfortable fading a Ty Montgomery at 7,500. But if he was 5,500 on the Thursday game, right, I wouldn't be comfortable. I'd want to play him. You know what I'm saying? But when he's like very, very expensive, then I'm like, eh. You know? What's the worst that can happen? He has a big game. Is it going to be a better game than Kareem Hunt or LeSean McCoy or 10 other running backs in amazing spots this week that are also expensive? When you get burned is you get burned by the cheap player that goes off, not by the stud expensive player that goes off. So that's just a little sort of note to remember.
There we go. Next game is in London. Again, we're going, I guess, London back-to-back. New Orleans Saints, Miami Dolphins, 3-point spread in favor of New Orleans, and a 49.5-point total there. They're indicating a little bit of juice in this one. And, you know, looking at our beautiful DVP chart down below, there's a lot of green on this thing. Is this a jai with the crappy game in the cherry matchup last week? His knee is apparently sore. Is this a jai stuff news or noise?
It's definitely news, not noise, first of all. Definitely. And what I learned last week was not to believe Adam, the Dolphins coaching staff at all when they discuss these things. There's a few teams where you have to learn you can never believe what the coach says. The Seahawks are like that. Anything that
correctamundo.
Anything that Pete Carroll says, don't listen. Last week, I think Adam Gase, right? Was that the coach for the Dolphins said? Comes out and he's like, well, Ajayi, we're not going to lower his workload. And he's fine. Meanwhile, today he was seen not practicing, but in some sort of a sleeve thing. The guy is not well. So here's the general philosophy with these players who are questionable all week, and don't play them in cash. They're fucking risky. Okay? If the guy's questionable, if you haven't been practicing, definitely don't ever play them in cash. That's another lesson from last week that we came away with. But I knew that already. But nonetheless,
we relearned.
It's not new, but you need to like get smacked in the face with certain things in daily fantasy football. And one of them is you know what's going to happen? Here's where it messes with your head, but you have to get past it. Then one time you'll say, oh, I can't. I don't want to play this guy. He's questionable. He hasn't practiced all week, and he'll go crazy. And you're like, shit, I should have played him. But and you remember that one time, even though the other 10 times when you fully faded that person who was coming off the injury, it totally was the right move. But that one time it doesn't work. You're like, oh, fuck, I should have played him. I still to this day, and it's crazy that I still remember this, remember a game where Brandon Marshall was a game-time decision. I think I've mentioned this one before because it sticks out in my head. Game-time decision, you know, it was all wobbled. Slow. I'm like, I ain't playing this dude. And it must have been a primetime game, which is why I really remember it so well. And then he goes out and he catches 3 touchdowns and he has this huge game. You're like, what? He was hobbled. And the reality was, even in that game, he was hobbled. He just like got those touchdowns. It was like he caught only 4 catches. Like it wasn't like he was getting these massive yardage plays and running all over the field. No, he just was out there as a decoy, but you know what? He happened to catch the three or four passes that he caught. It was like Mercedes Lewis last week where he caught three receptions, but they were all touchdowns. So, but I still remember, oh, man, I'm so stupid. I shouldn't have faded him. But really, no, you should have. And so in this case, this guy's not practicing right yet. I think he will, and it's a shame because this is like the ultimate cherry matchup. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to use Ajayi. I mean, I'll continue to pay attention to practice reports this week. And, you know, if he's practicing or, you know, then I think you can take a few shares because the game could not be a better scenario for a running back. I mean, it's the Saints. And so good stuff, but not a cash play if he's hurt or if he's questionable all week and he's not practicing. Yeah, take a GPP shot, but in general, if a player is a game time decision in general for me, I will not play them. Even if they play, I will not play them. If you're in such bad shape that you have to wait until warm ups to figure out if you're able to go out there, just I'm not playing you. Period. And I will allow it to get burned. I will get myself burned on it one time, and everybody's gonna be like, you fucking suck. You said not to play this guy. He went off. Okay. But the other 20 times I did it, it was the right move.
That's right. So you just keep on doing it, pal. The guy that goes, oh, you fucking suck.
They're going to say it. And, you know, everybody wants to break your balls if you're wrong about anything. And that's fine. That's the nature of the beast. But certain things, just like in trading, you have to have discipline. You have to have patterns that you do. And that's a pattern that I do. I try to do it all the time. Sometimes you forget, but then I'm like, oh yeah, I need. And then you make the mistake, and then you're like, oh yeah, that's why I do that. And that's why I didn't. Again, that's why I really hadn't played Odell Beckham the first couple of weeks. You know that other game when he played, I'm not going to play that guy. He's just coming off. He's coming off an injury. I wasn't even sure he was going to play today. So I don't play people in those situations. I'm not saying that's Ajayi right now. Right now he's not practicing, but maybe tomorrow he will, and they'll be fine. But I don't know. Then, you know, they're out there living it up in London, you know, bangers.
Yeah, well, if we go across the pond, who do you play then if you're not playing Ajayi?
Oh, everybody else. I mean, that game is ridiculous. So, oh, yeah, I should really get back to this game. I mean, I think the top play, and I know our domination station already is in love with Devontae Parker, slapping him in pretty much every lineup that I try to make. Yeah. Parker's a big play guy. You can play Jay Cutler, ugh, right? But yeah, you could play him here. Jarvis Landry is in play. On the other team, on the Saints, all hands on deck. Mike Thomas should have a big game. Let's think about Fleener, but this is the Willie Snead comeback game, and I don't really like mm-hmm. Snead here in his first game back. I think, you know, I don't know. Give him a game or two to get back into mental state, but you gotta like Thomas here. You gotta like Drew Brees just naked. I'm not gonna be super high on Fleener. I'm generally not very high on any of the running backs for the Saints. But again, we saw last week the Dolphins are a bad team. Their defense is not good. You don't lose to the Jets. Like, a good team doesn't lose to the Jets. A medium team doesn't lose to the Jets. A bad team does. And they're a bad team, just like the Jets. So, you know, they can stink it up at any time. But what happens when two bad defenses go up against each other, sometimes it's just a scoring bonanza. And I think this mm-hmm. game can go that way. I think it's just be, like, wide-open football. I think it's like this game, they're in front of the London crowd. It's the Brits. I could see them kind of like not purposefully, but kind of treating it like the Pro Bowl, you know, where it's just like, no defense is even being played in this. Like right. Michael Thomas could have like three touchdowns. And,
push him out of bounds. But if he goes down the middle of the field, let him have it.
You know, let the London fans cheer. Let them enjoy themselves.
Look at him run. Yeah, look at him run. Look at him run.
There he goes. So, you know, it's kind of like two really bad teams that are going nowhere this year.
He's faster than our football.
let's put on a show. Let's put on a show for the Europeans. Listen, they've had a hard time in London.
So basically the main players, you're calling all hands on deck.
Yeah, there's no There's literally no defense. It's not like you can look at these two teams and say, oh, well, this defender is very good, so, you know. No, there's none of that. They're terrible in all aspects, both of
the
teams.
In other words, get pieces of that game.
Yeah, I think for some reason I feel like these games are sneaky. Like these London – now people – do you think anybody had a piece of the Jaguars' offense last week? Not really. No. You know, it was the Sunday morning.
This one has a 49 point total, though. I think more people will be interested in this game based on that.
It won't go under the radar in that sense, but you know, what can you say? There's no bad plays here. Right. Even Mark Ingram, and I don't think I ever play Mark Ingram. Let's see what Mark Ingram's done. Let's see what Mark Ingram's done this year. He's just a player that I never ever use, right? But
he's probably caught a few passes. He's probably ran a few. That's about it. He's in a three-headed committee.
It really makes it tough when a two-headed committee is bad enough. You add in, you know, Adrian Peterson. I don't even know what he's doing on that team, but Adrian Peterson, and it just makes it ugly. So last week was his game script perfect week for Mark Ingram, right? You can't ask for better. They're at Carolina. They're commencing the ass-whooping. They're up huge. You're figuring, give it to your, you know, main back and just let him, you know, give it to your bruiser and let him do his thing. Well, he ended up with 14 carries, 2 receptions, a 10-point game on DraftKings. You know, that's not doing it for me. This guy scores 10, 12 points every week. You know, I do like that they use him a little bit in the passing game, but, you know, Kamara's there also being, it's just too many people on this team. I don't even trust him in GPP. I don't really see where the upside is. Like, Mark Ingram will have one game where he scores 30 points this season. And after that, you know, if you have him on your season-long, trade his ass.
Good luck timing it.
Yeah.
Let's power through. Let's move to the Sunday games back over here on the correct side of the Atlantic Ocean. How about that?
There we go.
Sunday at 1 o'clock. The lead game looks like Carolina at New England. And, see, this is one of those weird ones. Carolina at New England – New England's an 8.5-point favorite at home, 47.5-point total, because New England has obviously struggled defensively a little bit and given up some points. I've heard a lot of buzz this week about Cam and how New England allows points to quarterbacks and stuff. If there's ever a spot to play Cam, it's here, but can you?
No. Definitely
I can't.
No, and first of all, bet on New England. If it's, you know, that spread is way too low. The Panthers are a complete mess, and it starts at the top with Cam Newton. He is not – I don't know. I don't want to say himself because I don't know if that's what I would say. I just think he's not there yet.
He's not running. He's not scoring a lot of touchdowns. He's not throwing for any kind of accuracy. So to me, it's Christian McCaffrey or bust in this one. I don't have any designs on any other Panther. I don't know about you.
100%. This entire team is a disaster. And again, Cam Newton looks like shit out there. He's not throwing with any zip. What little accuracy he had before the injury seems to be gone. He's floating him. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey is a decent to quality, maybe GPP. I'm not sure if I trust him in cash at his salary level. Let's see.
I don't trust him in cash because that silly Jonathan Stewart hovers around the goal line.
I mean, he's not making his points score and touchdown. This guy's making his points with receptions and yardage.
Correct.
Yeah, he might get a touchdown in there. He's a GPP play for me. But I do like that they absolutely will target him a lot in this game. So, but it's just tough to pay again, 6,800. It's hovering very close to some. This is a tough week for salaries on draft.
Is that who Belichick game plans out of the game?
I mean, who else is he going to game plan for? Devin Funchess?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there's no one else.
The rest of them are hurt, and Cam's throwing it into the upper deck.
Cam can't complete a pass. They don't have a tight end. Kelvin Benjamin's probably not going to play. That means you're talking Devin Funchess and Christian McCaffrey is the only two offensive weapons on this team.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think it's so hard for a defensive coach to figure this one out. I don't like anything to do with the Panthers this week. I would bet on – it seems like almost like too easy to bet on the Patriots. Why is that spread so low? Like, who's betting the Panthers, right? But nonetheless, there it is. Now, on the Patriots side, I actually don't expect a repeat of last week. And so this is very, very important. People looked at last week, well, the Patriots were a big spread, and, you know, they thought, there was this thought, oh, we'll play Gillislee, Pats take a big lead, and they'll go to the run. The game just didn't play out that way. The Texans actually came in, played really well, made it not just a game of it, but a nail biter of it. And the Patriots were down at one point. So they were, whenever, all you ever want is Tom Brady to be down. Okay, if you want a fantasy points explosion, just put Tom Brady at a deficit in any game. The sooner the better. If I have Tom Brady as my quarterback, the one thing I'm rooting for is the other team to score. Because when that happens, he comes back with a fury. Okay? And it happens every single time. I don't ever recall a game. I'm sure it's happened, but I rarely recall a game where some team is, you know, takes an early lead against the Patriots and then they just, you know, fold up and die. That's just like that has not happened during the Brady era, outside of, again, maybe a couple games where they literally had no wide receivers healthy. So the problem here is I don't see any possibility of Carolina making a game of this. I think it's an easy, easy game for the Patriots. The Panthers will have little to no resistance. I like Patriots defense here. I like Gillislee to close out the game in the second half. Always a GPP only, not a cash play, but nonetheless, yes. I don't buy that Carolina's defense is good. Sure, they're okay when they're at home, but they're going to break in this game because their offense is going to be so inefficient that they're not going to be able to stay on the field, and the Patriots' offense is so efficient that it's going to break the Panthers' defense, or at least that's the way I'm playing it.
Sounds fair to me. That means, golly, I mean, do you like any of the pass catchers, Hogan, Cooks, any of these guys, or just a little sprinkling of them all?
I mean, yeah, I don't mind any one of them. I think I like Gronk the most because I think of all of these guys, and I don't think Gronk is going to have a smash day where he puts up 35 or even 29 fantasy points on FanDuel or DraftKings. But some salaries have gotten dangerously close to one another. Like, the difference between Gronk and Zach Ertz is, like, nothing right now on DraftKings. And I'd rather have Gronk in that scenario, even though I like Ertz always. But I'd rather have Gronk. Because Gronk is almost always good for a touchdown, you know, at some point. And I do think that could potentially happen early in the game. But, no, I don't foresee another offensive juggernaut-type explosion, either from Brady, who is way too high to in salary to afford this week. Certainly on DraftKings, he's the highest salary I've ever seen a quarterback on DraftKings. And in this week of all weeks, you never want to see that. And then I just don't think he's going to need to push it. And that's where the best Brady is Brady pushing it with pedal to the metal in the second half. Fourth quarter Tom Brady is what we want. Tom Brady will go into the fourth quarter like with 25 points and wind up the game with 40 if he's down. Like that's Tom. Mm-hmm. That's what he does. So I don't really foresee another game. Now, he could do that any time, and he'll always have a nice game. But I can't pay up for him this week. All that said, yeah, I like Hogan. Sure, I like Cooks. Sure, I like Gronk. Sure, I like Amendola. Every one of them individually is playable, but I don't expect a massive game out of more than one of them. And it's going to be hard to predict which one it is.
Sounds fair. Sounds fair to me. What do we got next game? L.A. Rams at Dallas. Another 8-point spread in favor of Dallas. And 46 points is the total. So this is obviously a Zeke week. He's going to be pretty chalky. But are the Rams a thing, or did they just beat up on crappy teams to go 2-1, kind of making us wonder? Or are they 3-0?
Here's a little fun
note.
They played
two crap teams.
They played some bad teams. But a fun note about the Rams is they've played all of their games to the over, regardless of the opponent so far this year, including – hang on. Let me just make sure.
Have they done it over their own implied total, or you just mean the game total?
The game total. Now, against the Colts, they did it all by themselves. But I mean, right. You know, the Colts game was 46-9. The Redskins game, 20-27. That was supposed to be, a 42 or 43-point total. The San Francisco game, obviously, last week was ridiculous. So, you know, 70, what was it?
Right. It was over
80 points scored. So, I mean, why not go with the pattern? The games that these guys have been involved with so far have been high scoring. Every single one. I'm down with it. I like that. I like the trend. Let's keep it going. So I am looking for a high scoring game across the board here. What that means is I definitely like the Dallas Cowboys weapons. The Rams don't have a cornerback that is elite enough to shut down Dez Bryant. So Dez is going to be involved. You have Zeke. He's going to do his thing. And those are your two Cowboys that do most of the damage in their games. For the Rams, it's a little tougher after Gurley, who I think is a fine play as well this week, although, again, not as good as when he's been favored at home. So you proceed with caution. I don't think Gurley will have high ownership this week, as good as he's been. But the way they use him in this offense, you know, people have this perception that Gurley doesn't get receptions, for example, but he's averaging, you know, 5.5 targets a game. He's had 5, 5, and 3 receptions, 50, 50, 40 yard outputs and touchdowns in the receiving game. So, like, this dude is being used all over the place. You gotta like a workhorse, and I like the fact
He's what we're looking for in that area. He's a decent back getting a ton of usage.
And I like the fact that he's going to be low-owned this week because everybody's looking at a few other names. Everybody's looking at Kareem Hunt and Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, some other names depending on which slate you're on. But nonetheless, like, I don't think Gurley's going to be high-owned at all. So he's one of those interesting GPP punts. He's on the road, underdog. At wide receiver, I really don't know what to do with the Rams wide receivers. I think Sammy Watkins is concussed right now, and we don't know if he's even going to play. I would downgrade the whole offense a little bit if he doesn't play. Sammy Watkins has been pretty good with them, and he's usable.
He opens that field up for Todd Gurley and the others.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the other name is Cooper Kupp. He's gotten,
not much.
6 targets. You know, he's more of a he's more of a hype name from the preseason than somebody you really want to get excited for. And he had 6 and 2 targets. You know, he hasn't done a whole lot with them. He had the touchdown in week 1. Whatevs. But outside of Sammy Watkins, and you know, I guess Woods did a little bit last week if I remember the game. Yeah, Woods had a nice game last week. So, like, if Watkins is out and you're looking for a Robert Woods, if Watkins is out, Robert Woods becomes one of the names on the punt list for DraftKings. Like, just one of those names you want to have some exposure to. Why not? You know, we need cheap players. It's 3,900. Mm-hmm. You know, he had 7 targets, 4 targets, 5. Like, he's been targeted on this team.
Is Cowboys defense playable?
Not my favorite play. Not my favorite play. This team's been playing well. There are other teams that are playing worse that I think are better plays. This Rams team has been playing well. I know, you know, St. Louis people, they have a love-hate relationship with the Rams. But you St. Louisians, but what do you call yourselves in St. Louis? Like, what is
this is the Lou, baby.
The Lou, like
the Lou.
All right.
This is the Lou, the STL.
What do you call people from St. Louis, though? Like, what do you guys call yourselves? Like, St. Louisans?
Yeah.
No, St. Louisians?
Missourians.
Missouri.
Show me staters.
I was on spring break, Cancun. It was 1997. And I was debating some kids from... chatting up some kids from St. Louis University of whatever in St. Louis in there. There was this argument about what it was supposed to be called, Missouri or Missouri. And apparently the redneck ones call it Missouri, but like the city folk call it Missouri. That's what we get walked away with that time. And I was like, oh, okay then.
It really made you just want to fly right over it, didn't it?
No, I'm such a douchebag that they're talking about how like the city people say this way and the country this way, and I'm such a dick like from New York. I'm sitting there thinking like, do these people actually think they're from the city? They're all fucking country bumpkins to me. Like, it was all the same shit. I was like, oh, you guys are making fun of me? It's like, yeah, no, sorry. All country bumpkins. Well, I was a dick when I was in college, maybe, because today I wouldn't. I would be much nicer about it.
Nice to me.
Yeah.
You're always nice to me, so whatever.
I've changed.
There we go.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Detroit at Minnesota, that little anecdote brought to you by Kevin the Football Geek. Detroit Lions at Minnesota at the Vikings. This game is still offline. I haven't checked it this evening, but as of this afternoon, it was still offline. So, do you care to take a guess at what's going to happen here?
My assumption is Bradford won't play.
What do we care if Case Keenum gets 330 yards and like 8,000 touchdowns again?
Well, if he does, but I mean, can we really count on Case Keenum doing that a second time? So this is tricky. It was easy to, you know, when Bradford went out the first time, yeah, it was comfortable. We're like, all right, fade this shit and be done with it, right? I told everybody, get Diggs and Thielen out of your lineups. They're not a good play. Now Diggs has shot up again in salary to 7,100 on DraftKings, which is supreme stud levels. And Case Keenum is still Case Keenum. Okay, a quarterback who, throughout his career, I will remind you, in week one, he put up a 6.6. So this is a quarterback who is capable of a horrible game. He's not somebody who was ever considered like one of these backups that has a chance to be a starter. He's just a backup quarterback. So do I trust him to do the same thing again? No, not really. It's certainly nowhere, nothing I want to go near in cash. In tournaments, yeah, you know, anything goes. So, you know, last week I would have said not to play Diggs, and he was the nuts. So that was a little stupid, right? I like Thielen's pricing a little bit better, his salary. He did have a very quiet 98 receiving yards last week. You know, Diggs kind of got all the hype, but Thielen had a nice day too. And so, like, if you need, I don't know that I'm going to really go back to the well on this one. But that said, I think the Lions aren't such a great team that I'm scared of them. And I like the fact that the Vikings are at home again, where I think they'll play a little bit better. And, you know, Dalvin Cook is certainly not in a bad spot here as a workhorse back. Last week, I feel really upset about the fact that last week, the domination state, our optimizer and our projections loved Dalvin Cook. He was in every lineup. And I looked at that and I was like, what's Cook doing in here? Case Keenum and, you know. But it was because he was a value play. He was going to get a lot of touches. He was cheaper than other running backs at 5,900. Now, he happened to have a pretty awesome day. But even if he didn't, I'm looking back on it, I totally understand why he projected so well, even without the quarterback in play. And I thought it was one of those, well, maybe the projection methodology was expecting Sam Bradford in there. But in the end of the day, no, it was just looking at how many touches he was going to have and the fact that his team wasn't like supreme underdog and he was at home. So same scenario this week. I think Dalvin Cook could have a big week or at least a good week. And why not the rest? And as far as the Lions go, you know, a lot of times when teams travel to take on the Vikings, you really have to just pay attention to Xavier Rhodes and who he's going to be covering, because he's going to push the targets away from whoever he's covering. One would assume he's going to cover Golden Tate, but Golden Tate's kind of a hybrid player. It's hard to know that for sure. But I do think he'll be on Tate when Tate runs normal patterns, you know, and he will be able to limit him. I think Xavier Rhodes is the best cornerback in the league. He is a shutdown, a true shutdown corner. You don't want to use players against this guy. There's a few other guys, and we'll get to them, because people actually like certain players that they shouldn't this week. There's a few other guys like Rhodes, but Rhodes, I think, is the best of them. So I'm not going to touch Golden Tate here. And without Golden Tate to throw to, you know, Matt Stafford is not as interesting. I'm not touching this Lions offense at all.
Fair enough to me. I didn't really have any written down myself, but...
I did have
Thielen written down as my preferred play, only because they're throwing at that Quadri Diggs dude or whatever on the other side. And that dude has just been lit up all year long.
There
so
we go. I like it.
If that's who Thielen draws most of the time, because whoever the decent cornerback in on the Detroit side that kind of interrupts all these passes and is helping that defense look better on paper, if he keeps drawing Diggs and following him around a little bit, or at least taking one outside receiver or the other, that leaves Thielen open in the slot, and that dude, Diggs, has just been getting torched. So
I like the sound of that. I don't mind Thielen. Thielen is under the radar. I think he's going to be lower owned than he should be. Everybody remembers the big performance by Diggs. Nobody realizes, yeah, Thielen also put up 100 yards last week and had a bunch of receptions. You know, he did fine. So, yeah, there's definitely some appeal to that.
Yeah, it's something to dig into. I know we're looking at putting some wide receiver cornerback matchups on site. So when we get those, that would be something to look at. That would be one of the first things I'd want to go look at to verify. I would go verify those numbers and make sure that what I heard during some of the games last week was correct, in that second corner over on Detroit has just been getting lit up, targeted like crazy, thrown at, can't stop shit. And if he ends up drawing Thielen, then it game on, baby.
Absolutely.
So at any rate, let's move on. Tennessee at Houston. Maybe we can make up a little bit of time here. We've got 1.5 points. That's a pretty close spread, but a 43.5 point total. I guess this 1.5 points favors Tennessee on the road. Is Deshaun Watson playable? That would be my question.
Yes. Yeah, I don't see why not. Playable in all formats. One of the things I like about Deshaun Watson is not that he's a big play guy, but he does do a little bit of running with the football. And also, it's very easy to pair him up with DeAndre Hopkins, because that's who he throws to on almost every single play. So,
yep.
I like that clear-cut stack. And the other thought of it is, if you're going to play DeAndre Hopkins, who's, you know, not super expensive yet, soon to be, but not yet, you might as well play him with his quarterback, because, again, if he has a shitty game, then you ain't winning a GPP. So... if he has a big game, you probably are doing well, and Deshaun Watson's probably doing well. So, yeah, I think you could play Deshaun Watson this week. And as a matter of fact, I actually think that one of our – I was messing around with the Domination Station optimizer, and while he wasn't the primary quarterback that it was going to, I believe he showed up in some lineups. Top optimized lineup. So he was there, especially on, again, DraftKings this week, where you absolutely need to save money somewhere. You cannot put together a reasonable lineup with an expensive quarterback. Yeah, Deshaun Watson shows up a lot. So that's something very important to sort of keep
being mindful of.
He definitely shows up.
Look at the Chapadon bringing value to the podcast. That's what I'm saying.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Who else you like from the game?
Rishard
Matthews or these guys?
Rishard Matthews is value play every single week, and sure. Now, that said, teams don't do very well against the Texans defense, so it's going to be pretty rare that I'm targeting a road team at the Texans anywhere outside of like some value play. That seems to stand out. So no, I'm not taking Murray, and I'm not going to be on Derrick Henry or you know, Delanie Walker. Probably not. My favorite plays. I don't like Lamar Miller. I'm hearing a lot of his name this week. I don't understand it really. He's now in a full timeshare, with Foreman. So I don't like that. No, I like Watson to Hopkins. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple stack, home team. They throw to Hopkins nonstop. And again, I wish Miller was still the workhorse because it would be a good spot for him. But, I mean, if you look at his past few games, he's just not getting all of the carries or anywhere near a full workload. So
he hasn't done much in two seasons when he has been getting that workload. So take that workload away, and it's just, like, bad news.
I mean,
so let
really dumb people were drafting him way too high. I did not draft him anywhere.
I would agree 100%. My season long, I was like, whoa. Okay, but whatever. Thanks. Thanks for the $20. Jacksonville at New York. Jacksonville, here we go again with these freaking Jets at home where the Dolphins couldn't do crap against them. This, to me, being a 3.5-point road favorite again with Jacksonville coming into town and a 39.5-point total we don't usually target, I still look at this as a massive spot for Leonard Fournette, being that that's like all they want to do is hand the ball to him. I don't even think that Blake Bortles threw the ball but 20, 25 times last week. It wasn't much.
Pretty efficient when he was doing it.
True.
He was completing those passes. Yeah. I mean, listen, this is not the same. It's the same and different as last week. The same in that, we have another road favorite going to see the Jets. The difference is this is not a division foe. Jacksonville's actually looked pretty good this season, quite good in their three games, particularly defensively, right? They destroy the Texans week one. I mean, throttle them.
Mm-hmm. 10 sacks.
Throttlings. This is
pretty ugly.
Yeah, and they were on the road. Then last week, they throttle the Ravens. In between, they have a hard-fought game against a division opponent in the Titans, and they actually take the loss. Okay. Now, the Titans are a bad matchup for them. Doesn't matter. They take the loss. All right. But what have we learned about the Jags? They're not a bad team. They're actually, I'm not going to say they're a good team. They're not a bad team, and they're a good defense. The Jets are a bad team. Now, last week, the bad team beat another bad team in the Dolphins. They suck at everything, right? They're just not good across the board. They're also a divisional foe, and we see this time and time again every single year. Divisional opponents play each other differently than other teams. Don't ask me why. It doesn't make sense. I know. I get it. But this is sports. And these divisional rivalries play each other different. There's a reason that Denver dominates teams at home all the time, but for some reason, the Chargers come in, they always play them tough. Always. The Chargers are moving up and down. Like, it's always like these high scoring. And you're like, what the hell? Denver defense stifles everyone. But somehow, you know, the Chargers just know how to play them. They're not scared and they're unscrewed. And, you know, they know how to play them. And it happens every single time. Then another team comes in that's probably a better offensive team, like the Dallas Cowboys, and they can't move the ball at all against Denver. And you're like, well, what the hell is the difference? Well, it's because the Chargers play these guys all the time and they know how to play them. I think that was a lot of the phenomenon with the Jets-Miami. Divisional opponents just, even in the worst year. Yeah, I'll actually give you a little Saint Lunatic. There we go. I got it. I just nailed it. It just popped in my head.
Just busted off a little Nelly.
Yes. A little Saint Lunatic, example.
See, I didn't remember that earlier because I'm white.
Yeah, like seriously, come on. I'm asking you what St. Louis people call each other, and you're sitting here like, oh shit, I need to come up with something. Like, don't you have a fucking name? All right, don't even worry about it.
Out here in the county, we don't. In the city, they might.
Yeah,
I will tell you, I played poker with Nelly. That was pretty cool.
Online, like
that happened. No. Like, legit, at the casino. I'm playing with one of our news anchors on Channel 4, and Nelly walks in, and this guy goes, check this shit out. And I'm like, end up talking to these local celebs, and I'm like, well, here's a little pee on me with $200 sitting on the table. Nelly walks in, splashes down like $30,000. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to last very long.
That's awesome. No, I take his money. He doesn't care. He's got lots of
it. Didn't happen. He's a pretty good poker player.
Wait, let me get back to my football analogy.
Yeah, sorry.
Remember how the Rams always would suck? But somehow they would play their divisional foes really well and, like, beat They'd beat Seattle. They'd beat 3-12, but they'd beat Seattle. They'd beat Arizona, and they'd beat basically they'd only have wins against their divisional foes and teams that same year, like where Arizona and Seattle were in the in the playoffs, going to the championship, the whole deal. That's what happens with division. They play each other tough. This is not a divisional foe. These are the Jags. The Jets are not going to. I get that they're at home, but I don't think the Jets are going to put on some incredible performance here and, all of a sudden not be horrible. That was reserved for the Dolphins. This is week when we get back to normal, which is, again, Jets not playing super great. The Jaguars coming in, having a very good defense, having a seemingly now efficient offense. And the most likely scenario is they're going to put the beat down on the Jets. So, again, this is a week where we need some salary savings. And my favorite player in this game on DraftKings is Marquise Lee. He's getting a nice volume of targets, more so than Hearns. And I think eventually he's got one of these weeks he's going to break one. But he seems to have a reasonably okay floor in these games. Like, last couple weeks, 2 weeks ago, 12 targets, 7 catches. Last week, 7 targets, 4 receptions. Now, you'd like to see him do a little bit more in that throttling game that they did last week, but Hearns didn't do that much better. 3 targets last week, okay? 7 targets the week before, 4. So Hearns is maybe even a little less involved. I don't mind Hurts either, though. I don't mind either one of these guys. We need to find salary saving somewhere. Certainly Fournette. I'm not going to play Blake Bortles. I'm just not a glutton for punishment, so I'm not going that far. And these wide, you might say, well, how come it was okay to play Kaiser? Oh, Deshaun Watson. I can't have that many Deshauns in the league at the same time. It's very confusing for me. Deshaun Watson with DeAndre Hopkins, and the reason for that is, aside from the fact that Watson does do some scrambling and get you some points there, is because the difference is I'm paying up for DeAndre Hopkins. When I pay up for a semi-studly wide receiver and he has attached to a low-cost quarterback, those are stacks that I like, especially in my GPPs, because I know that I'm not winning any sort of tournament if one of the expensive plays on my lineup doesn't have a big day. Every single particularly expensive spot has to bring value and have a big day, or I'm not winning anyway, so then it doesn't matter. So you might as well pair that guy up with his quarterback, especially when the quarterback is cheap.
Hmm. And I assume you're not taking any Jets at all, so we can probably bury this one.
No Jets.
I did take a glance at the clock. Our show clock's sitting at about an hour, so we're about halfway through. We need to pick it up. Cincinnati going to Cleveland. This game is 40-point total, 3-point road favorite in Cincinnati. I'm hearing a lot of Joe Mixon, but I'm really wondering, does A.J. Green go back-to-back with good weeks?
Yeah, I think both of those things are going to happen. I think A.J. Green has a big week because the Cleveland defense doesn't put up much resistance, and I think that this is the Joe Mixon breakout game, potentially. So the thing that's scary about DFS is when you never saw somebody do it yet, you're nervous that maybe they'll never do it, right? And that's the Joe Mixon thing. Well, it's week 4. We haven't seen him have a big game, so, maybe he doesn't have it in him. But obviously they weren't using him the same. Last week, a definite change happened. Mixon, 18 attempts, 3 targets, 18 rushing attempts, 3 targets, as compared to Jeremy Hill, 7 rushing attempts, 1 target. So a clear delineation. Gio Bernard, just a couple of attempts and a couple targets, not a lot of usage. He's questionable anyway. Hopefully he won't play. Who knows what'll happen here. But on FanDuel, this is the Joe Mixon week. You can't get around. He will be the chalk. He's 5,700 on FanDuel. That price is crazy. Salary is too low for a guy who looks like he's going to get a lot of touches. Because of that, I'm probably not going to use him on DraftKings because I'll have so much freaking FanDuel exposure that I don't want to blow up
both sides if he doesn't
if he tanks, right.
A game, and he's expensive enough on DraftKings. Was he 5,100 or 5,700? 5,700. Okay, that's interesting. He's expensive enough on DraftKings that I don't need him. I don't need to use him.
You know what that tells you, right? When his price shot up a lot on DraftKings but didn't shoot up quite as fast on FanDuel, being that DraftKings has that dynamic pricing, that means that DraftKings algorithm likes him.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like when a player goes up on one and stays low on the other one.
It's one of those. It's one of those little slight things that you can look to say, okay, so even the computers and the smart, everybody likes this guy, so there's probably a little bit of fire to the smoke. So it's just an extra check mark in the column that you look for when you're a little bit more experienced.
You know, I always look. I mean, we have a write up we do on salary discrepancies, and part of why I look at that is I'm like, if a guy's really expensive on one and cheap on the other, I just like a bargain. You know, I feel like I'm going to the market in Morocco and trying to buy.
Well, I know, absolutely, but with how dynamic the pricing changes over on DraftKings, it adjusts much, much quicker, suggesting that they do so based on matchups, and that means that this is a good matchup for Joe Mixon when they fire his salary through the roof. That's
yeah,
all I mean.
Yeah, and it's true, and obviously, it's good to be a running back on a team favored against Cleveland.
All right, let's move on here with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Pittsburgh, this is a division rivalry game, obviously. Another road favorite. Pittsburgh heads into Baltimore as a three-point favorite. 44-point total. That's obviously giving respect to the Ben home road splits with Ben Roethlisberger. It's also giving some respect to the Baltimore defense. Is Ben even GPP worthy, or is that just stupid?
I just want to throw up the caution flag on this game, just in general, like. Yeah, we all saw the Ravens get torched by the Jags last week, and now the Ravens suck, and they have no defense. And if the Jaguars put up 44 on them, the Steelers are probably going to put up 88 on them because they're a lot better. But I'm throwing up the caution flag here. This is exactly the game that I was referring to when I talked about division road favorites. You do not want to mess with that situation at all. Everybody's GPP worthy, by the way. Everybody. Even Carlos Hyde at Seattle week two. Right? He's GPP worthy. Why? Because he put up 24 points week two at Seattle. So everybody's, you want to play you want to play Le'Veon Bell, you want to play Roethlisberger, you want to play Antonio Brown? Cool. You know, the Ravens aren't that great of a defense. You know, there's nobody on the Ravens who can stop Antonio Brown or even Le'Veon Bell. And I think those guys will have a fine game. But in general, if we're going to stick to rules, then this is one of those games where we should be very, very cautious about. I think it will play to the under. Road favorite, division game, the whole thing stinks. So, and Pittsburgh hasn't beaten Baltimore in a couple of years. I believe they're on a four-game losing streak. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure.
Is there anybody you would play in this game in a cash game situation?
The only viable player is maybe Buck Allen in cash.
Okay.
I like the Baltimore players better than the Pittsburgh players here, because at
least
the Ravens are
home. Not even Le'Veon.
No, Le'Veon's always playable in cash. Again, on DraftKings this week, to reach up for Le'Veon means you will have to sacrifice your entire team. And right. I don't think you can do it. On FanDuel, you could play him in cash, but I think there are other running backs in better spots that I like more. So, I don't think even Le'Veon Bell is a cash play. And Le'Veon Bell's going to get his, but he hasn't looked explosive enough. He hasn't looked himself yet. And so why should I take him? Like, I'd rather take Le'Veon Bell after he's been putting up 30, 40 points a week. All right, he's got a tough matchup, so less people will be on him. But fuck that, he's on his game. Right now, he's not doing anything anyway. So, no, there are other running backs this week that are in better spots.
Okay. Good enough to me. And so Buck Allen's about the only play. let's move. Buffalo at Atlanta down there in the dome. 48.5 point total. Atlanta home favorite, 8-point spread. I don't know what to think about. Really, I like Atlanta. The one thing I like about Buffalo, it has a question in my head. You mentioned Shady earlier in the podcast. Atlanta has trouble with pass catching backs, and most people don't think of LeSean McCoy as a pass catching back, but he is. He's had 6 receptions the past couple of weeks, and they've been dumping that ball off to him like crazy. Is this a situation where you like that dude?
Yeah. Yeah, I like LeSean McCoy a lot in this game. I'm less scared of road running backs than I am, let's say, of road quarterbacks for whatever reason. And especially a guy like McCoy, who's going to stay in the game. Now, that said, he is supremely expensive. So it's not like some all-in play or some situation. But in a week where the entire field is going to be on Kareem Hunt, LeSean McCoy is $100 less. And in a GPP, right, if Kareem Hunt is going to be 35-40% owned, and McCoy
is... Hold on. Kareem Hunt's on the Monday night game, right?
Yeah. All right, so are we talking main site?
Well, I know where Thursday through... The way these sites have adjusted, it seems that Thursday through Monday is the only chance you got to play Kareem Hunt, other than like the 3 games
Sunday, Monday night. No, so, you're right. So actually, I'm looking at... Because we started on the Thursday game. Actually, let me pull that. Because I was looking at the Thursday to Monday slate there.
On those slates, I think that Kareem's going to be very chalky, but I'm wondering on most of the slates now, the bigger slates that don't have that Monday night game on them, I'm wondering how chalky, like a McCoy or somebody else, should bump their ownership.
Right? I actually think the chalk in the main slate is going to be Zeke Elliott. Mm-hmm. So, again, same scenario. Elliott, 8,200. McCoy, 8,400. Or generally, Elliott, right around the same price. I think people are going to go naturally to Elliott because he's at home. It's the Rams.
Home favorite. Spread.
Big scoring games. The Rams games have not been defensive in nature this year so far. So everybody's going to be on Zeke Elliott for good reason. I love Zeke Elliott this week. But, yeah, McCoy is a nice pivot off of him. He's going to be lower owned, and he's in a very good spot. And I just want to point out, because we said he's not or we don't think of him as a pass catcher – he's had 7, 7, and 6 targets, 7, 6, and 5 receptions.
Yep.
The first 3 weeks. Now, that could end. McCoy is a risk to get hurt every single week. It's scary playing this guy.
He's a risk to get hurt every practice.
Every play, the hammy. It's a scary playing. Like, if he was questionable, forget it. But he's healthy now, and we can't really predict injuries. And again, you know, I think even if Buffalo goes down in the game, they don't have some other running back to play. You know who else I don't mind in this game? Tyrod Taylor. Again, I don't love road quarterbacks, but, you know, Tyrod Taylor, in a week where we need to save some money, a quarterback, I mean, he's cheap. He's
cheap.
He's on a, you know, he's 5,300 on DraftKings. He's taking on a team that is, A, going to score a lot and put pressure on you to score also. And B, not very good at defending, you know, anything. So why shouldn't he do what he normally does, which is put up 16 to 17 DraftKings points, not have a big game, but not hurt your team, give you cash value? You know, Tyrod Taylor's playable.
Okay, so I usually call a gun to the head usually on a podcast. I'm going to call this one a finger gun to the head. It's not quite as severe. Tyrod Taylor, Deshaun Watson, or what's his name, Kaiser? Which one would you prefer to play?
I think in cash game, I mean, it's between Watson and Taylor and Tyrod for me. I'm going to lean Watson, but I don't mind Tyrod Taylor at all. And Kaiser, I'm definitely not playing this week.
Okay.
Did we talk about that Cincinnati game? Like, did we just blow by it? Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah.
My one point I want to make about that game, because I felt like I was going off on Joe Mixon for a while, and I feel like I want to go back to that one real quick.
We'll do it. With Kaiser. It's your podcast.
the Bengals defense is good. And I've heard some people talking about this is another scenario like last week where the Browns blew up against the Colts. And, you know, maybe that's going to happen again. I've seen, like, some thoughts on that because it's a little recency bias. No, I do not think that that's what's going to happen here. I actually think the Bengals have been really good defensively. They limited every quarterback, including Aaron Rodgers last week. And I think they'll do fine here. I think actually Bengals defense is in play. And I don't really see a great path for Kaiser to have a great game. So I like the Bengals weapons. I like Mixon and AJ Green and even to a less, much lesser extent, Andy Dalton here, just because it's the Browns and they suck defensively. But I don't really like anyone on the Browns. So I wanted to go back to, in case I didn't mention that, because I felt like I need to say, don't play anybody on the Browns, or I won't be playing anyone on the Browns.
You're good.
Yeah, nice. All right, so what's next?
Well, Buffalo and Atlanta, if you wanted to finish with Atlanta stuff.
Okay, yeah, so you know, on the flip side, Buffalo's been a stingy defensive team, and if you think that LeSean McCoy has a big game, right, how what are they doing? They're playing defense. They're running the ball. They're slowing down the clock. They're doing all of that in Buffalo. So they're limiting the opponent's scoring opportunities. Julio Jones is stud level, startable, blow-up spot every single week. It's going to happen. He hasn't done it yet, which makes it even more likely to happen soon. It's interesting. The Buffalo defense has been very good against the run, which might force a little extra passing. This could be sort of a mirror image of last week's Patriots-Texans game. So let's picture a game script that follows the Texans game script, where Buffalo comes in, they're playing good defense, they get a quick score, all of a sudden Atlanta's reeling, they're pushing, they score, Buffalo, you know, it becomes a high-scoring game. Well, a lot of defense being played, especially against the run. Like last week, a lot of what happened was the Patriots could not run it against the Houston defensive front. So they had to throw a lot. And, you know, and of course Houston's putting pressure on the quarterback and getting an interception here or there. But that's what happens when you're forced to throw. That's what Buffalo does, too. I mean, they're let's see the numbers here. But Buffalo's good against the run. And they might force the Falcons to throw more than they have been in recent weeks. That makes me happy because more throwing means more fantasy points and more good things. So, yeah, here we go. Bills Falcons. I'm just scrolling over to it in our research station. And let's see what some of these projections look like. You know, Matt Ryan, a fine play if you can afford him. Julio Jones, great. Devontae Freeman, you know, I'm not sure I'm paying. I'm going to pay stud money for Freeman this week. I don't know that I really feel like he's in a blow-up spot. So more of a GPP pivot than somebody I really want to spend stud money for. Oh, and one other guy that I'm interested in this game is actually Jordan Matthews. And I know he's been terrible. I know this. But what if the Bills are forced to throw a little bit more in this game? They haven't really been, like, behind a lot so far this season. And, you know, Jordan Matthews is also punt-level cheap. I'm not talking about a FanDuel play, but on DraftKings, we have to look for these 4,000 and under plays and see, you know, who has a shot. Matthews has been getting, you know, very, very, very little work.
Is he going to match up against clutch and grab Trufant?
I don't think, no. I mean, I think Matthews plays in the slot. So, I mean, I don't have anything that tells me he's going to match up against Trufant.
Okay.
Now, I don't know for sure that he won't. But he tends to, you know, he was a slot player for the Eagles.
In Philly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I assume he's playing a lot out of the slot for the Bills. He hasn't quite had a big game yet. They haven't thrown to him much. I mean, they threw five targets last week, and you know, Carolina, Jets. It's not a confident play. If it was, I mean, I'd be all over this guy. But I do think Buffalo's going to have to throw a little bit more, and they don't have that many wide receivers. And, you know, at some point, either they're going to get Matthews involved or not. I mean, they did trade for him. So, I mean, we've seen that these guys who come in, these wide new wide receivers, take a while, obviously, to get acclimated. And we're learning that lesson the hard way a little bit with, you know, Terrell Pryor and some of these other players sure. that have changed teams this year.
So two player names for you. One on the Buffalo side, I like Charles Clay a lot.
Okay, yeah, there
we go. I know Atlanta kind of squelches tight end a little bit, but I don't know how much of that is that people just don't throw to the tight end against Atlanta, and so it's kind of one of those deceptive numbers. Charles Clay has been heavily targeted and heavily used for a cheap tight end. And then on top of that, on the Atlanta side, I'm a big fan of Mohamed Sanu. He's cheap. I don't know how cheap he is on DraftKings. I haven't looked. But he's cheap on FanDuel.
He's 4,800. He's cheap enough. And he's been putting up his usual 10 to 12 points a week.
Yeah.
So far to start the season.
It's a pretty consistent floor through three games. Now, he could vanish at any point in time. But, you know, 10 to 12 points seems like about what he's going to get you. And for 4,800 on a week where we really need some points, that's not terrible.
Yeah, and this is a tough week for tight ends as well, so I mean, I have no problem with the Clay play at all. Six targets last week, nine targets week one, three targets week two. But mainly, this is not the kind of slate where, when you look at the slate as a whole at the tight end position, you know, the pickings are slim. You know, mm-hmm. nothing jumps out at you as, oh, I need to play this. Zach Ertz chalk has now literally within $300 of Gronk, which is absolutely crazy. And the third highest priced tight end is Jason Witten. Literally, dad bod is coming in
right.
third. Now, Witten had a couple of big games. I get it. But, I mean, he's still the dad bod. Like, you know, he's not a $5,000 tight end. I mean, he started off. Come on.
That's the only thing that kills me about these sites is they jack the prices up so fast and then they just kind of trickle down. So Witten's like useless the rest of the year pretty much unless he keeps his pace up. And, you know, when do you trust that?
I mean, that happens. Understand, these were situational games. He blew up against Denver because Denver has such incredible corners that you couldn't throw to Dez or
right.
And the same thing happened with the Giants. Janoris Jenkins comes in, completely shuts down Dez, so they throw it to Witten. This is a predictable pattern with the Cowboys. When they can't go to Dez, they'll go to Beasley and Witten. But when they can go to Dez, they go to Dez. And like this week, they're going to go to Dez. The Rams don't have anyone that can stop him. So they're going to go to Dez. And that's not the weeks that Witten blows up and brings value, especially now for this. At that point, just get the 1,600, put Gronk. You know. Yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah. Witten gave you a 0.06 last week. Like that's his floor.
Right.
Gronk does not have that. Gronk has a higher floor. Like it's pretty rare you go through full. Gronk's issue is he gets hurt and then he's hurt and he's out. But again, we can't predict when that's gonna happen. You know, he just gets hurt.
Gronk's issue is the stationary bike on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, like he gets hurt. What are you gonna do? But when he's in the game, he's usually involved.
Sure. No, absolutely. Okay. Well, we can move to the next one then. Yeah. Or is there anything else from Buffalo and Atlanta we need to talk about?
No, I think you know if you're down with the Julio, I don't really you know Julio, Matt Ryan. Yeah, no, I think we're good.
All right, cool. New York Giants at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers 3-point home favorite. Game total 44 points. All right. This time the real gun to your head: Odell Beckham or Mike Evans?
Odell, all day.
There
we go. It's not even a gun to my head. Mike Ooh. Evans is going to be covered by Janoris Jenkins. Janoris Jenkins is not quite Xavier Rhodes level, but he's very close. He is a shutdown corner all the way. I expect Jenkins, again, he's supposed to be healthy. He's practicing. He missed the last – I think he missed game 2 weeks ago. I don't know if he played last week, but the Giants are not a team to be trifled with as far as the number one opposing wide receiver because, again, they shut that position down when Jenkins plays.
And that's Mike Evans. We saw this last week when the Bucks went to Minnesota, where Evans did not have a good game, but rather DeSean Jackson actually had a pretty good game, because that's what happens. The funnel pushes the passes to somebody who's not covered tightly. Now, that doesn't mean Evans can't do anything. The Winston is going to force him the ball regardless. And he can eventually, you know, pull a few passes, and he might even catch a touchdown. But in general, I don't think it's a blow-up spot. And I don't spend up for players to give me a reasonably, you know,
right,
conservative performance. Right. Yeah. I'm looking for blow-ups out of my $7,400 guy. Like last week, there you go. So they're at Minnesota. He got you 13 points. Oh, it seems pretty good. 12 targets, 7 receptions, 6-7 yards. I mean, what more can you do if you're Xavier Rhodes? Limit the guy to 67 yards and, you know, 7 catches on 12 targets. That his floor is high, Mike Evans, because he's Mike Evans and they throw to him a lot. But...
Well, this is a mistake I used to make. I would take a guy like that and say, well, his floor is awesome, but this week he doesn't have a ceiling. And if I'm going to even play a guy in cash, yes, I want that. I want that floor. I want that hard floor. But I also want to pick guys in spots to hit their ceiling. And if it's not realistic that he can hit his ceiling, why bother? Go to another matchup that can.
Yeah, get a blow-up spot. And again, it's just not going to pay off long-term to take on – to use wide receivers going up against Xavier Rhodes, going up against Janoris Jenkins, going up against the best in the business. So even last week we saw it even with Dez, and you know he had a fine game, but I mean he was taking on Patrick Peterson, and he didn't have a blow up game. He just, you know, brought value because he caught a touchdown at the end, and you know end up getting you 12, 14 points or whatever it was. That's how those scenarios go down. So I do like DeSean Jackson a little bit here. Again, for the same reason I liked him last week, just a little bit of funnel targets his way. I like that it's a home game for the Bucks. I think they're going to be up for it. And, I mean, there's no running backs on the Giants that I'd be interested in or on the Bucks. I mean, what's up with Jaquizz Rodgers?
Poof. Vanished.
Who'd they give it to last week? No one.
I didn't really run it.
I mean, they didn't throw it to Sims. This is the problem with this team. Yeah. Call check down to the fucking running back, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Well, they got completely game flowed out of any running backs. You'd think they'd dump some off, but no.
This is the difference between these teams and other teams.
Correct.
You can – if the Chargers are down by 21 points, they got Gordon in there. They're throwing it to him. Check down. Boom. That's how they're moving their offense. But the Bucs don't do that. Or at least they didn't do it last week.
I laugh because this reminds me of one of those little GIF files that I posted on Twitter today. It was Aaron Rodgers looking over at the sideline going, stupid fucking call. Stupid fucking call. And I can promise you that that's what happens in these scenarios when you don't use those check down running backs. It's play calling.
What are you doing? I never understand. This is the whole thing with the Panthers, too. They never check down to them. Now they're doing it because McCaffrey. But before that, they never checked to the running back. Like, right. You got D'Angelo Williams on the team. Throw it to him. The guy can catch. They never did it.
Yeah.
They never did it. For all we know, Jonathan Stewart's an amazing wide receiver. But I don't know. Never tried. Cool. It's not like I saw him dropping passes. They never throw it to him.
low drop rate. But
He didn't drop the pass. Low targets. I mean, never throw it. Why don't they throw it to him once in a while? It's crazy.
What else do you like in that game?
I mean, you got to like Odell every single week. As douchey as he is.
Yeah.
You know?
That he is.
I didn't see anything out of the Bucs defense last week that was very scary. You know, they just got torched by Case Keenum. Now, you know, there's an argument to be made for Bucs defense here because in a GPP, because it's the Giants and they're always capable of 3 turnovers. But, let me go back to my research station on this game.
The research station you're referencing is a VIP tool to new listeners.
Yeah. I just want to see if any other play stand out. A lot of people are talking about Cameron Brate as a tight end play. Yeah. I've seen a little bit of him mentioned, again, on a week where it's tough to find good tight ends because it's the Giants and because the Giants suck against tight ends and all of that. Now, I liked Cameron Bray before they drafted O.J. Howard. But O.J. Howard's not really involved right just yet. I don't know what his deal is. Another guy I like is Evan Ingram. And the Giants, the main reason I like Ingram is just they're feeding him, you know, multiple targets every game, and he's 3,000 on draft. So this guy, who's minimum salary, basically, he's getting fed targets, 5, 7, and 7 the last 2 weeks. He's done okay with them. He's not going to get you – I mean, actually, they throw deep to him sometimes. Just had, he dropped – you know, his drops against Detroit,
brutal.
That cost me a lot of money. I was literally in third place, third nuts, in the prime time that week, and any reception, I was out by a quarter point. People in front of me had there was a difference of Ingram and who was the other tight end on the slate? Maybe Ebron. And like Ingram was like a quarter point behind Ebron.
And that was the difference.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, shit, and the final drive, he drops two passes. I'm like, no, just catch one. Just catch one, man.
Close the hands.
The difference close in dollars pants. Was so dramatic. Not that, you know, I don't get that emotional anymore. I've been doing this for 67 years now. But, I mean, the difference in the dollars was so dramatic. Second place was worth, like, that reception. We had one of our guys ahead of me get it. So, like, Goregi, who's a DFS Army VIP, he nailed it. He had the version with the other tight end. Same exact Abraham. Lineup, but the other tight end. And that was the same contest. That was worth $5,300. And third nuts, $230.
Oh.
I mean, the dollar dip, because of all the ties on the prime time. So the dollar difference was so massive. I was like, shit, fucking leave it to Evan Ingram. Two passes, hitting his hands, dropped him.
Talk about gun to your head.
That sucks, man. That sucks.
It's a whole different way of doing it.
Yeah, but anyone nonetheless, yeah, but Ingram and Braid are definitely, you know, if you need, we're going to be looking for some cheap punts and whatever. Both of these guys are acceptable. I think Ingram will do worse now that Odell Beckham is back and doing his thing and, you know, kind of target hogging. But he did fine last week, so why not?
So plow through, move on?
Yeah. There we go. We're at Monday night.
We got I'm still at the 4 p.m. games, man. I got Philly at Chargers.
Oh, my thing's all jumping all around. Okay, so Philly.
I'll guide you. Let me be your compass, my brother.
There we go. All right, Philly, you said, at the Chargers.
Philly at the Chargers. This one's a pick 'em. It's a 46.5-point game total, which, you know, is all right. But it's just a straight pick 'em out of Vegas. The hot name here is Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah.
Where are we going with that?
I don't know. I have to wait till later in the week, and I need some more coach blurbs before I know what to do with him. Obviously, Darren Sproles gets hurt last week, and, you know, there's a new dynamic on the Eagles. But the Eagles just have not produced running backs that have put up big scores, just period. So it's really tough to trust anyone. They still have LeGarrette Blount there, Smallwood. They have another guy that they just brought up. They have another backup guy that might get some touches. So I don't know for sure that.
Let me point your research in one direction for you to look at tomorrow. Levitan tweeted that Smallwood out-touched Blount in that game when Blount was scoring the touchdowns, which is scary. But he was out-touching him like 10-7 and out-targeting like 6-4 or something like that after the Sproles injury. So there was a little bit of an indication there that Wendell Smallwood would be the back of choice. So if you can verify that when you do your research, I mean, let me know.
I've heard this too, that or some of the Philly coaches, well, Wendell's going to have to step up and take on a bigger role. But realistically, for all of Adams Levitan's tweets, Smallwood got 2 targets, 1 reception, and 12 total rushing attempts last week. Now, the good thing is he did some damage with those runs. And so there look to be some talent in the mix. But this is definitely a GPP-only scenario. Cannot be trusted in cash. The main thing you like about him is he's still super cheap. 4,100 on FanDuel, and we're not playing small one on Draft. I mean, 4,100 on DraftKings. We're not playing him on FanDuel this week. That's not going to happen. So we don't need to play him on FanDuel for the most part. Like, we don't need that level of salary savings. But it's, you know, we'll see. This is a we'll see moment. Now, I'm going to definitely be paying attention for any blurbs from the coaching staff and any clarity, because one less guy, now they're down to two. And LeGarrette Blount, we know, really is only good for one thing, and that is the goal line, which is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you're giving that up. Okay. But I'll take between the 20s all day with Smallwood if I can get him for 4,100, and if they use him like they use Sproles in a passing game role. But we just have no way of knowing that for sure at this moment. Again, any blurb from the coaches aside, because at this moment they haven't said, yeah, we're going to give him those types of touches. But what we do know is when the Eagles want to, they can check down to the running back, and the running back can have a big game. So we've seen it with Sproles. We've seen him, you know, before he gets knocked out, he had 8 targets, 5 receptions week 1, you know, and a bunch of targets, not doing much with him, but a bunch of targets in week 2. And did he have a touchdown? Actually had 10 carries week 2. Like, they were giving Sproles just straight up carries, you know.
Mm-hmm. He was feature back.
Yeah, these have to go somewhere else. So I don't think it's going to Blount.
I think that's how much they dislike Blount.
No, Blount sucks. Blount is a product of the Patriots offense. He is not, like, individually a very good player. He just was a product of the past.
Who do you like on that team, then, if you're not going to use Smallwood? Are you a Wentz or an Ertz guy? Are you paying up for Ertz? I mean, we talked about Clay. We talked about Brait, some of the others. I mean,
I don't like the road situation. I don't like the matchup that much. So outside of, like, a GPP, like, low ownership, you know, crazy play, I don't really see how do you not play Gronk for the same money as Ertz, for example? And with Wentz, it's the same deal. Like, do I really need this road quarterback in a pick'em game, West Coast, East Coast, a lot of travel? The whole thing doesn't feel like a high-scoring game to me.
So does that mean you're on any of the Chargers?
I mean, again, it's the usual suspects. I don't mind, you know, I always like Gordon every single week as long as he's healthy. And, you know, for the Chargers, I haven't seen much out of Tyrell Williams that makes me want to play him. I don't think Travis Benjamin is going to blow up another week like he did last week. So, you know, it's kind of Keenan Allen or bust. I think Keenan Allen's a good, solid cash play every single week as long as he's not being covered by some shutdown corner, which he won't be this week. And Gordon is always in play. He's at home. You know, they're going to throw to him. I'm a little concerned about the questionable tag and the bone bruises or whatever the injury scenario is for him right now, especially after what happened with Ajayi last week and just sort of seeing how these hobbled players don't really live up to their expectations. But, I mean, there's a little concern with Gordon and you know, and again, Ertz playable if his price is reasonable, but I mean, really? They jacked up his salary like crazy. You know, he's right there with Gronk, and I can't accept that.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on.
I'm boycotting it.
Yeah, you would.
I'm taking the knee. I'm taking a knee on Zach Ertz.
God, we almost made it a whole podcast without that shit. Unbelievable. It's usually me that can't refuse that joke, but damn, you got me this time.
You know, like, because I'm offended that they jacked up his salary.
You're going to take a knee because
I'm taking a knee on Zach Ertz this week on DraftKings, because how dare they? How dare
not
they?
Not because they jacked up the rake, but because they jacked up
I don't care about the rake. No, I care about – and it's not just that they jacked up his salary. He has entered the Gronkosphere, and that's just completely unacceptable.
I guess you've got to take a stand or knee wherever you can.
Yeah, you need listen, Gronk needs his space. This is not a guy who needs to be crowded out by the likes of Zach Ertz or anybody else. His Gronk's salary should be at least $1,000 cushion between him and the next guy. And the next guy is not, you know, even that
should not be Zach Ertz or Jason Witten.
Have you seen Gronk twerk? That dude has moves. He needs his space.
If I ever want to send you off on a tangent, all I got to do is say Gronk.
That is it, man. Don't get started on Gronk on me. Don't be putting Zach Ertz in the Gronkosphere and expect me not to take a knee. Because, oh no, I'm offended, sir.
That's awesome. Let's move to San Francisco and Arizona. This game's whatever. 7-point road. You're gonna like it more than I do, I'm sure. But Arizona's home favorite, 7 points, 44.5-point total. Carlos Hyde and the 49ers come rolling into Arizona, and they face Carson Palmer and the resurgence of Larry Fitzgerald. God, I don't like Carlos Hyde this week. Do you?
You know, I didn't like Carlos Hyde on the road at Seattle. I mean, it destroyed them. So. I don't know. Is this that different? It's kind of the same. I mean, it's not a cash play, but, you know.
If anything, it's a little softer, I would think.
Well, there it is. So, I mean, you know, he's done it in these situations before. There's no reason to assume that he shouldn't be able to do that again. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with Carlos Hyde. Am I playing him in cash? No, I look for players in good situations in my cash lineups. But I think Carlos Hyde is an interesting low ownership GPP situation. No one's going to be on him. No one's going to be on him. And he's done it in these situations before. He's a full workhorse. He has endless touches. He's not supremely expensive on FanDuel in particular. When he's doing well, he scores touchdowns. And it's not like the Cardinals defense has been shut down. I mean, they're okay. They're still doing their thing, but, you know, they're not shut down. So, do I love him? No. But do I think that if I'm making 150 lineups in GPPs that I'll have no exposure? No, I'll definitely want to get some exposure to him. He's one of the players that has just as good of a shot as any other one of having a big day. He's a workhorse. He'll get 20-plus touches as long as the game flow allows for it. You gotta like the pass catchers for the Cardinals in this game as well.
Going back to the well on Fitz.
Yeah, I mean, what have the Cardinals? What have the 49ers shown defensively to tell you that they can stop anybody?
Did his price adjust on DraftKings?
Fitzgerald? Hell yeah, he's 6,100 this week.
Because it should not. It didn't adjust on FanDuel because they were the Monday night game.
You know what? No, they did not adjust it. I don't know what he was last week, though. What was Fitzgerald last week? I don't remember, but he's 6,100 here.
Nice.
I think it was about what it was last week.
I know, to make him a value play, then, yes.
Now, here's what's nuts. You know whose salary did adjust on DraftKings? J.J. Nelson.
I was going to say David Johnson.
No.
Go down.
They jacked up J.J. Nelson to 5,600.
Oh, wow.
Now, compare that to Jerron Brown, who's 4,000.
Right.
So, J.J. Nelson and Jerron Brown are pretty much, you know, playing the same role. And they have an equal shot every single week of catching that big bomb for the touchdown or two. Nelson had that one big week, and that was great. But, you know, I don't think he belongs significantly different in salary from Jerron Brown. He's kind of playing the same role. Fitzgerald, he is doing what he's doing, 6,100. So I think all these guys are in play. I mean, I don't know if I'm paying up for J.J. Nelson outside of, like, taking a GPP crazy shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the projection, for example, for Nelson and Brown is, it's not wildly different. I mean, Brown's a little below. I'm not really sure why that is, but Brown's, like, you know, 10.5, and Nelson's 12.5 or 13 and change.
as we haven't projected, and Fitzgerald's in the – like, you wouldn't use – are you going to use J.J. Nelson with his 13-point projection when you can just pay a couple hundred more for Fitzgerald and his 15.5-point projection? Like, you know, it's a significant projection jump for a couple hundred dollars. And again, Carlos Hyde, we haven't projected very high in this game.
15. If you like the pass catchers, on Arizona, do you like Carson Palmer this week?
Yeah, absolutely. Carson Palmer is one of those players that you can use this week. No question. Why not? He's at home. He's got a terrible defense coming in. He's got his full complement of weapons at his disposal. I could see the 49ers making a legitimate game of this. So
outside of his biggest weapon.
Well, yeah, but now he has to throw more.
Right.
I mean, having David Johnson was helpful because he threw to him on occasion, but now he just has to throw more. All right, I'm okay with it. I mean, Carson, he's no Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, if he's throwing a little more, hopefully he'll do a little more point scoring. He's not my favorite play on the slate by a mile, but I definitely don't have any problem.
Okay.
Defense
one of your favorite plays this week by chance? Arizona defense?
It's not one of my top plays. I like Arizona defense. They're at home against a bad team. You got to like that. But, you know, Seattle, there are some other spots I think that are teams that are slightly better spots defensively. Okay. So it's not going to be my top play, but I don't have any problem. I think it's in the mix up for the week. I like the Bengals. You know, there's a few, but I like the Jags. But these guys are in the mix.
Let's round out the main slate, going to Mile High with Oakland going into Denver. 47-point total, 2.5-point favorite for Denver, the home team. This, honestly, is a game that I love. I mean, I feel that, like, Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper have been priced a little bit high now, but I love Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas in this one. They still feel like bargains to me.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I happen to say the game I love, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I like the Denver side of this game quite a bit. I don't mind Trevor Siemian. I definitely like DT and Sanders. I always talk about this with the Broncos. One of the nice things about this team is that they only really throw to those two guys. And again, they always burn me by mixing in two touchdown passes to Dexter Fowler III or whatever. But, I mean, if we're talking not necessarily who catches the touchdowns, but who he throws to more often than not, it's usually Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders. I like that consistency. Thomas, 8 to 9 targets per game. Sanders, 8 to 9 targets per game, although last week went bananas with 15 targets. Don't know why. But normally he'll also average 8 to 9 targets per game. Those are good numbers. Good cash-safe numbers. If they get in the end zone, it's going to be tournament-safe. And with Siemian, I like the idea of the stack with one. I like the idea even of the stack with both. So if you're going to play Trevor Siemian...
Yeah, you hope he goes for 4 touchdowns again and throws 2 to each.
Yeah, I mean, in order for that to happen, the Raiders will have to put up resistance in the form of scoring. I'm not fully convinced that they can do that here. I don't think... Now, this could blow up in my face what I think and my concerns, but I do have concerns here. I have concerns that the Raiders are not really built to compete well with Denver, especially in Denver. Not that many teams are, but these guys in particular. And the reason being, I mean, Marshawn Lynch is exactly the wrong kind of running back to put up against this Denver defensive line. What you want is a check down guy, like a pass catcher at running back who can have some jiggle and make some moves like that, because you're not going to beat them up the gut. Marshawn Lynch doesn't have that. He's going to try to go up the gut. Now, I don't think that's a good way to attack the Denver defense. We already know that Denver has the no-fly zone where your outside wide receivers are going to get blanketed by, you know, two of the best corners in the league. And the issue for Oakland is, you know, most of their offense goes through Michael Crabtree and
and Amari Cooper to a much, much lesser extent. So if you have Marshawn Lynch, who's not going to be really good in this scenario, and you have, you know, the wide receivers kind of blanketed, you know, Cooper, even if you don't cover him, he drops more passes than he catches. So it's like you don't even really need to cover him. And then Crabtree will catch it, so you got to put, you know, your better guy on him. And then what? Like, Cook? I think you got, you know, if you want to play someone, Jared Cook.
Yeah.
Jared freaking Cook, man.
Yeah. I'm not super excited about it, but I got you.
Jared Cook.
Throw to somebody.
Wait. I mean,
you got to throw to somebody, but I mean, very. Denver's not weak against the tight end this year. Well,
he's cheap. Denver's always weak against tight end. So I mean, that, you know, that's you talked about Clay last week and or a couple weeks whenever they played Buffalo, getting a bunch of targets. Like, that's who you have to throw to. You got to throw to the tight end. So I don't mind Jared Cook at all. I think he's in a sneakily decent spot. If this was part of like some primetime slate, I'd probably even play some Seth Roberts to get that, you know, third wide receiver option in there for the Raiders. But luckily it's not on a prime time. I don't have to force players from this game in. And the last guy is CJ Anderson. I think Anderson is going to be boom or bust every single week based on, you know, just if he scores touchdowns. He doesn't get enough. He gets volume, but he doesn't get quite enough volume to pay off his salary level right now. It was a lot better when he was in the fours. Now he's close to six or mid fives. And, you know, he gives you a dud game if he doesn't get in the end zone. They don't really pass to him a ton, which I don't like for a DraftKings play. Let's see. CJ Anderson, two targets. Well, yeah, three. So he maxed out at three targets a game so far this year. Very little pass receiving yards. So what that tells you is they don't game plan to feature CJ Anderson in the passing game. So outside of, you know, him scoring a touchdown or getting 100 yards on volume, which he doesn't often always get, it's going to be hard to him to make value on a week-to-week basis. So GPP
at his
only,
current price level.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little spendy for me right now on this kind of slate. I do want to use him, but I just don't think he's gonna. You know, again, it's not cash comfortable to play him.
Okay. Fair enough. Move to the Hammer game.
There we go.
This moves into like the three game primetime slate.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Here
Gone
we go.
Away.
So DraftKings took that shit off.
Yeah.
It is in play. It is in play on FanDuel, though.
There we go.
So, Sunday night primetime game, Indianapolis visits the Seattle Seahawks, and this game has a whole lot of puke written all over it. 13-point spread in favor of Seattle, 41.5-point total, which the interesting part about that total with that huge spread still gives Seattle a 27-point implied total themselves. So they're definitely playable. But are they going to get on track? Because this offense has been putrid.
No, they looked pretty good last week. And they blew up last week. Russell Wilson had a massive game. I find Wilson is a bit of a momentum guy. So I definitely want to see if he can build on that huge offensive game that they put together last week. I want to see it. I want to see if they can do it. Doug Baldwin injured at the moment. Don't know what's up with that. Got to wait and see. I like Russell Wilson in the spot. I think Russell Wilson is one of the better plays on the slate at quarterback, another salary saver to a certain extent. You know, he's not super expensive. I'm trying to pull this game up on DraftKings just so I can get some of the numbers in front of me here, but
questions that Carson's Chris Carson going to get some volume in this 13-point spread?
That's what I want to take a look at him, but there's some. I think ProSize might be hurt.
I thought I saw that too, actually. I thought I don't know if he was declared out, but I think I saw him.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, it's early in the week for anything like that, but I think he's not necessarily a certainty to play.
Right, and being held out of practice, I think.
You know, and that I think does bode well for Carson's prospects. Not that I think Carson is all of a sudden going to become their passing down back, but the issue with Carson has been, even last week he had 20 carries against San Francisco in a very close game. Last week, 11 carries, a couple targets. He gets a couple targets every week. Let's see what ProSize was doing. See, ProSize doubtful does give me some reason for optimism. If ProSize is out, I get it. They're going to bring somebody up from the, I think it's McKissick, right? They talked about this guy, McKissick, will fill a receiving role out of the backfield, right? But who said that? Number one liar. Pete Carroll, fucking liar. So, what do you do? Do you go and you grab McKissick at 3,000 and say, hey, he's punt worthy? Maybe. But I'm kind of thinking Pete Carroll's full of shit. And they'll just keep Carson in there and just run him and throw to him, right? So, it's a sneaky, sneaky spot for Carson. He's not quite cheap enough. Once again, I mean, DraftKings, man, they're just like
not to
dick move.
Not to put a real shitty gun to your head, but more dishonest coach. More dishonest coach. Pete Carroll or Rick Pitino with this NCAA scandal going on?
Oh, my gosh. Really?
And really? Back of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick Pitino is more dishonest, but you can never trust anything that Pete Carroll says about players or playing time or any of that stuff. Remember, Russell Wilson's fine; he's not hurt. Remember that year his ankle was all busted up all year. He's talking up Eddie Lacy. Really, so many suckers fell for that. I laugh at all of you that drafted Eddie Lacy, all of you. Like, you literally have never listened to this podcast if you drafted Eddie Lacy. You're not even listening now, so I can laugh at those people.
Not 2 hours later.
No, they're not here. They're not here. They wouldn't have done it if they were listening to this. I like this game. I like this game. There's some pass catchers for Seattle. You know, what's going to happen with Baldwin, if Baldwin's out, I definitely like, you know, some other names like Jimmy Graham and you know, either Richardson or Tyler Lockett, yeah. One of those two. I got to see sort of who is, maybe both, you know, maybe I'll roll the dice. I don't know. But Richardson, Lockett, you know, Baldwin. What I don't think is, I don't think this is a repeat quality game for Brissett and the Colts offense. It's not the same thing being at home against the Cleveland Browns as it is going on the road into Seattle, into a very loud and intimidating stadium. So,
really?
It's not the same.
Really?
No.
It's like I finally get to give that to you.
Really? Yeah. So, no, it's definitely not. It's not the same. So, I don't like the Colts this week. I don't like the Browns this week. I'm just going back to that other one, too, because I want to be clear on that. But I do like Russell Wilson. And again, I mean, how much defensively, how much resistance are the Colts going to put up? They just got torched by the Browns to the tune of, like, you know, 30 points. So this team is better. I like the idea of Wilson building on his momentum. I think that Russell Wilson is one of the better plays across the board on a slate with where most of the studs just aren't on. You know, you have Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and a lot of these stud plays that just are not on the main slate. So I'm very comfortable using Wilson and maybe even Wilson stacks. Maybe not, but, you know, in this game, just because the opponent is crap and they have a high team total and they don't really have a running back who's going to command, you know, massive touches and score a lot of touchdowns.
There you have it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. If you think about it, that now that could blow up, and so you want to hedge that with some Carson. If a running back is scoring touchdowns, it's probably going to be Carson. It's not going to be, you know, that other
practice
dude.
Practice squad boy.
Yeah, that guy who's replacing ProSize. You know, and again, Carson might be a very, very good play. I'm going to think more on that. I need more time on that one to figure out if I want to use him this week. But I might be leaning yes here as I think I'm talking myself into Carson right now.
Ooh. Well, then we'll have to pay attention to the VIP pod on Friday.
Yeah.
Let's roll into one. I mean, it's hands down lock if you can afford it this week. Seattle defense. I mean, that's going to be very, very chalky.
Yeah, I think they're the chalk defense play of the week. Absolutely.
If you can get them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're again, I said this before, they're on my short list, but they're probably the most owned defense of the week.
Sure. Sounds fair. Let's move to Monday night, wrap this baby up. This game actually has a lot of goodness in it. I mean, Washington goes into Arrowhead, and we all know about Kareem Hunt and all that. You got a 49.5 point total on Monday night. 6.5 point favorite is Kansas City at home. That lends to Kareem Hunt. That lends to, you know, a little bit of the passing that Washington has to do and all that kind of stuff. It's actually a Monday night game I want to watch. I mean, I'm just wondering how I'm going to play it when it's not on these freaking slates.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of fun because I like the idea of the fact that I'm going to have to get, I'll have a lot of exposure to this because I'll just play that primetime slate. So that makes it even more fun a little bit. I'm happy that I don't have to make a Kareem Hunt decision in my main slate lineups.
Mm.
And when I say a Kareem Hunt decision, I mean,
I know where you're going.
You know, he's stud priced. He's the most expensive, or basically, you know, his salary has gone bananas. But if you look at what he's done, and I don't want to knock it, and it's easy to find, you know, you feel like it's easy to knock these things.
Thank you. I know exactly where you're going with this. Thank you.
All right. Well, there you go. He has had in every single game, all three of them, a single play that went bananas and did most of his scoring. Although in week one, I'll say not really. He just was destroying shit the whole game. But, you know, last week, a 69-yard touchdown run. The week before, a 53-yard touchdown run. Right, and this has led to all of his scoring. If you look at what he was doing week two at Philly, or home versus the Eagles, until he gets that big breakout score, he totals 13 carries, 81 mm-hmm. yards in that game. Not a whole lot of receptions. So if you pull off that 50-yard run, he had 12 carries for 30 yards.
Yep, that's why last week I led into everything with, this guy's fadeable now. His price has shot up to 8,000. He's completely fadeable. He's relying on big plays. And the only reason that I say he's fadeable is those aren't sustainable going forward. Eventually, if the rest of his game doesn't pick up and balance out those huge, monstrous plays, he's going to shit the bed. I'd rather him shit the bed on 30% of people chasing his points than anywhere else. But the problem is, last week, shithead did it again.
He keeps doing it. Well, not shit. Awesome guy because he's on my fantasy team. I took him in the second round.
Mine too.
There we go. So we love Kareem Hunt on our season-long team, but not if we don't have him on our DFS lineup. So I'm kind of happy that I think obviously at some point this guy's going to revert to the mean of not being able to break out a 60-yard touchdown run late in the game every single week. That doesn't mean that won't happen this week. This is actually a really good matchup for Hunt. I mean, he's at home. It's Washington. They're not a great defense. They're certainly not as good on the road. And I think the Kansas City defense is going to be dominant in this game. So it's actually a really good spot. Like, it's the perfect spot on paper for Kareem Hunt. I don't love his salary level at $8,500. It's getting up there pretty high for a guy who doesn't get, I mean, a massive volume of carries, or at least hasn't so far.
And they're still bringing Charkandrick West in on passing downs.
I mean, not a whole lot. I'm actually looking at what West has done, and he's done virtually nothing this year. If you look at his numbers, he's done nothing. So I actually don't think West is very much of a
threat, and it looks to me, based on just kind of going through the numbers, that no, I mean, they are definitely giving Kareem Hunt full blast. Let's see if this other guy. No, they're giving him full blast workhorse touches. So, you know, for all of the negatives that I just said about, you know, the big blow of plays, actually looking at West, even though they do bring him in to pass block on occasion, last week, two attempts, two targets.
Good, because I'm telling you, he's in the game when I'm watching it, and I get the regional coverage here, and I look
this
and I'm like,
where's Hunt? He might be in there, but they're not giving it to him. Philly, week two, no attempts, no targets, no nothing. Not a single stat. Week one, one rushing attempt, 21 yards, and one target. So, yeah, they're bringing him in to spell less than other teams are bringing in guys to spell other studs. So I don't think there's any threat to the Kareem Hunt workload. I'm interested in that. He, again, even with all of that, and he's the only guy, and KC's supposed to be a running team, that he's only been getting, you know, averaging 15, 14 carries a game. But I think that just might have been how their games have gone. Let's see who the, you know, let's go back and think about those games and try to think why that was. I mean, at New England, he was just doing so much with his touches. He didn't need more because it was just like he scored huge and he 100 yards. I mean, he had 250 all-purpose yards, so you can't knock that. He was just, they didn't need to give him 30 touches because he was scoring a touchdown. You know, last week, 17 attempts, 172 yards. So after all the negative I just said about the blow-up plays, the reality was this guy had 100 yards, 100 rushing yards, a target, you know, some passing game work before the blow-up play. So he was still going to do, you know, 15, 16 points for the game, and then that one play ends with a touchdown, and that's a, you know, a 12-point play, and, you know, 16 turns into 28. Well, that's the shit, man. The guy scored touchdowns. Like, am I going to knock Jordy Nelson for the fact that he has a big play touchdown every game? No, I love that about the guy. He always seems to pull one out. So, you know, I said some negative sort of like words of caution here, and it's more salary related than anything else, but you can't get a guy in a better spot than Hunt at home against the Redskins. The Redskins have not been good defensively against the running back position. They ranked 20th. It's not like they've taken on these incredible running games either. I mean, they're ranked 20th. All right. Gurley blew them up. But besides that, Oakland, like Marshawn Lynch, he didn't do shit. And the Eagles with their combo, they didn't do anything. So they've limited most of the running backs that they've seen. They also haven't seen anybody good. Now they're going to see someone good. And when they saw the other good guy, which was, what did I just say? Gurley, they got torched. So, you know, I think Hunt is every bit as good as Gurley. He's at home. Big play potential. So basically, if you're playing the two-game slate, I mean, you're all in on Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Who else are you playing? You're playing... Here, this makes it easy on the two-game slate. You want to have it easy? You're playing Hunt. You're playing Carson. And you're playing Chris Thompson. And I might go 90% on Hunt. I might go, you know, 50 or 60% on Carson. And I might go, you know, 30 or 40% on Chris Thompson. That's it. Yeah, Fat Rob is going to be back, but I don't like him in this spot. I don't mind Chris Thompson as a standalone play, but I don't, you know, outside of the two-game slate, it's hard to pay $5,200 for a guy who's going to get three or four targets in most games. I do think they're going to be playing from behind. Actually, all right, look at that. Last week, obviously he was tearing shit up last week, but he got the seven targets. My issue this week, though, is you don't think that the Chiefs are going to see the game tape from last week and how Chris Thompson was just not covered out of the backfield and then go, maybe we should cover that guy. Because they didn't cover him at all.
Look at him run.
you would think somebody would be like, oh yeah, let's keep an eye on him when he's in the game because they're going to check down to him. Like last week, I found a dump, obviously because I had more Perine and I was getting pissed with Thompson's big game in the two-game slate, but I'm like, do they not notice that they're not covering every time this guy comes in? They literally don't cover him at all. Like, their scheme has a flaw in it. And by the way, that scheme, I'm interested to see if the Broncos exploit that this week. Just having watched the game last week and been like, oh yeah, they don't cover the running back out of the backfield. That's very exploitable. Let's throw it to C.J. Anderson. So it makes me interested in C.J. Anderson for that reason. Maybe they'll throw it to him. Raiders obviously don't cover players out of the backfield. But I'd imagine that the Chiefs have seen the tape and know that they have to put a man on Chris Thompson when he's in the game. So it's going to be difficult for Thompson to repeat the performance. And at 5,200, I'm definitely not touching this guy on the main slate.
I like that little nugget you dropped about C.J. Anderson versus Oakland.
Well, yeah, I remember I was watching the game and I was thinking about that.
Neat little GPP nugget right there.
Yeah, like you don't like C.J. Anderson because they don't throw to him a lot. But, I mean, if they're paying attention to the tape from last week, they're going, oh, you know, there's a flaw in their scheme where whenever this sort of play kind of goes down, they don't have anyone to cover the running back. Now, maybe the Raiders will modify their scheme. You know, just how, like, the Raiders always have that same flaw where they just forgot to cover tight ends. Like, something yep. about their scheme. You know, I'm not an X's and O's person enough to figure out what it is. You know, if I was, you know, that'd be amazing.
Dude, it's not rocket science. There's nobody there.
I mean, yeah, their scheme just doesn't allow to cover out of the backfield. It's not, a weird scenario, it's correctable.
When you look at the chalkboard, the guy guarding that running back, there's not an X and there's not an O.
Yeah,
there's nobody there.
That's right. If I X and O it, like all the O's have gone other places and there's just no one left there. So they don't even bother with it. And you saw it. I mean, Chris Thompson, it wasn't like he was making contested catches and breaking a tackle. No, he was just wide open and there was no one in the area.
He was in a lot of space.
Do we think that they're not going to do that with C.J. Anderson? Like they won't check down and he'll be wide open?
I don't know. I mean, the point that you brought up that made me go was when you're like, yeah, a couple of years ago, they just didn't have an answer for the tight end. I'm like, oh, my God. Maybe they covered the tight end and they decided to take the dude that was supposed to be on the running back and cover the tight end.
Either that or I think what actually happens is they don't cover the tight end either. They just like they don't cover either of them. They're like very busy with other things. They're very busy.
Hey, defense, you nine guys, get out there.
Yeah, like they're just busy with other stuff and they just forget.
We don't put 11 out there. We just do nine.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, so I like there's other players in this game, obviously. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I never am able to really discern which one of those players is going to go off. I mean, do we really want to look at these DVP numbers and believe them? Game four, it's hard to. I mean, right now, Washington's showing 29th DVP. All right, so here's the important part about Washington. Josh Norman. Josh Norman is the man. He is a shutdown corner. The thing about Kansas City, though, is they throw two sort of turd wide receivers at the edges to suck up any kind of quality cornerback play. You know, so they got Conley and, you know, Albert Wilson going out there. They never throw it.
Hey, Josh Norman, this Chris Conley kid, he's a wooden duck.
Like,
he's
Josh Norman's going to lose his shit if they put him on Chris Conley or Albert Wilson. He's going to be like, no, I'm going to cover Tyreek. And like, nah, dude, you play the outside. He'll lose his mind. He'll just like, you know, go nuts on Gruden and be like, I'm fucking doing this shit, man. Or not Gruden. Who's the coach of the Redskins?
It's Jay Gruden.
It is. Oh, it's still Gruden. Oh, they didn't switch coaches. Okay, no, they switched offensive coordinators. That's right.
Well, that might be who Josh goes and yells at. I need to get some sense.
He's going to go scream at that new offensive coordinator. No, he's going to scream at Gruden, like, dude, put me on Tyreek Hill. So I don't think it, but I do think eventually Norman will find his way to covering actually Tyreek Hill and potentially limit him.
which makes me like Travis Kelce.
God, I thought you were going to say Chris Conley. I was going to say no.
No, Albert Wilson. Albert Wilson this week. No, it makes me like Travis Kelce. The Redskins have been torched by tight ends precisely because Josh Norman does force targets away from himself. Whenever you see these teams like that have a great cornerback, you see the opposition going to check down to the running back or to the tight end, different kind of plays like that. So I like Kelce here. I like him for sure. On the Redskins side of it, on the Chiefs side of the ball, and of course Kareem Hunt. And on the Redskins side, I don't like anyone.
If you look at their mascots, they're both Redskins.
That is true. Well, that's terrible.
Are you offended again?
Yeah, I think I just got offended by that. hold on a second.
Get up off your knee, dude.
I'm on my knee right now. I'm taking a knee for that. That's terrible, man. See, you had to go there. I don't even know what to say. But to get back to football.
Wow.
The Chiefs.
You reeled the podcast for 2 minutes on a crappy joke.
You totally threw me off. I have no idea what I'm even thinking right now. Yeah, no, I like Kelce. I like Hunt. I like Kansas City defense here. So this is one of those games where I want to be in this main slate. I want to be in this primetime slate. And if we're talking about the primetime, like I said, I'm virtually going to be all in on Hunt and probably heavy Kelce. But a lot of that is just because who else is there in this slate? I mean, we'll go to the Sunday night game and we'll have Russell Wilson and some of his players. I mean, it's an interesting Sunday night primetime slate because you can legitimately eliminate some players here and cut down the pool or, in essence, add some free squares to it, which is the kind of thing that allows you to legitimately win a GPP. Or at least tie for first, which fine by me, I'll take it.
That's still a win. Yeah. You're making the most money out of any players that played it.
If you can get that tie, I mean, I think there's a couple of them with $100,000 or $250,000 first place. Yeah, even if I got to split that with a couple hundred people, I'll be very happy.
It's not like a 50-50 where 18 of you tie for 50th and you split that money and take back 85 cents or some crap.
No, it won't be like that. NFL never has that level of ties, even in a two-game slate.
Right, just bringing it up because I've been there.
I'm pretty sure I was there in NASCAR this weekend where our Chalk DFS Army the Domination Station top line was so chalk that I literally tied for third or fourth place in all my GPPs, but the ties were with 10 other or 12 other people. It was with so many to the point where you didn't even get a full double up. Like, it was a $5 entry and you get like 7 back because there were so many ties. that happened. That was this weekend. Just while one of our other guys took the nuts in the second lineup I think it was the second line that the Dom Station generated was the nuts.
Well, I saw it was like 50K or something.
No, we had
that from a couple weeks ago.
That was weeks ago. A few weeks ago that was Daytona where one of our guys won 50,000, took first place.
Yeah,
our NASCAR's
that was a while ago.
It was a while ago, Daytona. But no, this past weekend, the second lineup from the Domination Station was the nuts, and one of our guys.
Cool.
It's ridiculous that no one else ran it. I didn't. It was the first week of the season that I didn't multi-enter NASCAR. I just played the one cash line. It was ridiculous.
That's so funny because that's what happened in NBA. About midway through the season when the Dom got up and running for that, a couple of guys took the default lineup, dumped it in a GPP, boom, popped $10,000 each, and everybody else in the DFS Army was like, "What the hell just happened?
Why didn't we do that? Yeah, why didn't I do that? What the hell?" And for me, I've been running that. I've been running every week, doing fine, but shit, I'll take a first place finish.
Guys are all like, "Well, I'll never do that again. I'm gonna run it every time." It's really funny.
I remember it. Cool. So that's it for.
That'll do it.
that's it for week four. Very exciting. I will be back either tomorrow night or maybe Friday night with the VIP only pod, where I'll go into my personal picks for the slate, my stacks, my GPP, my cash plays, you know, a much more vetted version of this as I've continued to dive in the games. And you know, we'll talk about players here, but I'm going to really get into the players that I'm actually going to be using. And hopefully we're going to have another big week and keep rolling, raking in the money. Let's keep it going. It's been a great season so far.
Yeah. So now that everybody's two hours and 15 minutes down the road from where they were traveling, I hope you had a lot of groceries to buy.
We will be faster next time, I promise.
That's okay. Once it gets past about an hour and a half, I just throw it to the wind. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. We're going long.
There we go.
Throwing it to JJ and Jerron Brown. We're going long. All right, dude.
All right, man. Have a good one, everybody, and we will see you next time for the Geeks Vegas Lines NFL podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.